This Tuesday, I imagine that many of you will be grilling, hanging out with one another, shooting off some fireworks, or maybe going to a fireworks show, being in some sort of fellowship and community. Part of that is patriotism, thanks for the goodness that has been shown to this nation by God, this land that we have as our own. But part of that is simply human fellowship and community. The desire inherent in people's hearts to be with one another, to share meals with one another, to share time and fellowship with each other. The church, of course, has its own calendar. As we said in the announcements, this is July 4th weekend, but this day also in the church calendar is July 2nd, the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Those things seem so far apart, separated by centuries, separated by many, many miles. But they do have this in common. They are both about simple people, humble people, lowly people coming together to celebrate amazing things. This visitation, this visit of Mary, after Gabriel had announced to her that she was bearing the Lord himself, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, she journeys to see Elizabeth, her cousin, who had also been visited by Gabriel. Elizabeth was much older. She was barren. The wife of Zechariah, and she was told that she would bear John the Baptist, the final prophet, the one to prepare the way of the Lord. But in all of that, it's interesting to think, I wonder if Mary knew that Elizabeth had also been visited by Gabriel, or if Elizabeth knew that Mary had been visited by Gabriel, and how much they knew about what was happening in both of their lives that was about to explode into the beginning of the New Testament church. I don't know how much they knew about each other. But what they do, I think, here is very normal, very simple human thing. That the virgin of the family, the young maiden of the family, she hears one way or another that Elizabeth has become pregnant, or maybe she just wants to go inform Elizabeth that she has become pregnant and tell her about the amazing things that's happened to her, but she simply wants to visit her cousin. And the young maiden of the family, knowing that Elizabeth is older and maybe needs some help around the house, especially if she's going to be bearing a child, goes and helps with haste to take care of her family. Simple people, human fellowship coming together to celebrate amazing things. No doubt amazing things, as the hymn said in the Song of Mary, the Lord has done amazing things to me. Perhaps, in fact, even more amazing than the Declaration of Independence. I know that's hard to believe, but that this barren young woman, the mother of our Lord, Mary, would have in her womb the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation itself, that our God would come down in human flesh. What an amazing thing. And then also a barren woman, an older woman who had no chance of giving birth, the wife of a priest, would be given the birth of John the Baptist, the one called to prepare the way of the Lord. No doubt amazing how God would work miraculously in these two humble women's lives. No doubt amazing that for the rest of history, from generation to generation, as the word of the Lord says, Mary would be called blessed, the mother of our Lord even. That this young woman from a little town would be chosen by God to give flesh and life to the Lord himself. No doubt amazing That is why Elizabeth must say whenever she sees Mary, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. What is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" No doubt amazing that John miraculously leaps in the womb of Elizabeth at the sound of Mary's voice, at the presence of Jesus there with him, womb to womb. And that, by the way, does show infant faith is a real thing. No doubt amazing that God was working the eternal salvation, even salvation for the whole world, in the history of these two women's lives. And also that they were granted faith to recognize it. But remember what we said, even in the midst of all these amazing things, the reason that Mary goes to visit, and the reason that you get together for fellowship this week, it does not have to be something utterly amazing. In fact, you can get together and you can grill out and you can have hamburgers and you can buy the fun paper plates and whatever else you like to do. You can do that anytime, really. You can get together with people even when it's not July 4th weekend. And that is the beautiful simplicity of visitation. Mary visits her cousin because they're family. She visits Zachariah's household because they need help. If you remember back earlier in Luke 1, if you go and read the story, this household was kind of a mess, to be honest. After Gabriel came, Zachariah did not first believe the promise, and so he was temporarily cursed by becoming mute, unable to speak. Elizabeth was not sure what was happening to her. She felt as if she was ashamed or reproached, and so she hid herself for 5 months. She was an older woman going through a pregnancy. It was probably all around just kind of awkward and difficult for them. Zachariah not even able to talk to comfort his own wife in this time. And so Mary goes with haste to their house. She goes to fellowship with them. She goes to rejoice with them. She goes to weep with them. You can think about the way Paul puts it in Romans, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly." That is exactly the example that Mary gives us today. In this simple and humble and human way, she visits Elizabeth and Zachariah and John with faithfulness and with the gospel. And so, dear saints, this is an example for you. It's an example for the church. That's why Paul gives the exhortations he gives today as well, that we should contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality to one another. That's what I want you to think of when you think about the church, when you think about the people in the pews around you. The church is not just a place where you have some sort of membership. It's not like the DeSoto Athletic Club where I go and work out most days, where I scan my phone with the app and I pay my dues every month and then I put in my headphones and I basically don't talk to anyone because the music's really loud and obnoxious and I'm trying to lift the weights. It's not like that. It's not just a place where you go to accomplish something and then leave and pay your dues and don't worry about what everyone else is thinking. The church is a place of visitation. The church is a place where we are called to visit one another, to help one another, to be human, to have fellowship, to have meals with one another. Maybe even greater than the kind of fellowship you might have this week, but more like the fellowship that Mary had with Zachariah and Elizabeth in their house. Like Mary, we greet our family when they need to be greeted. We celebrate with each other in times of pregnancy and engagements and other such great events. But also remember, it does not have to be special. It doesn't have to be July 4th weekend. It doesn't have to be a pregnancy. It can just be the normal times too. It can be the bad times too. We should go help one another, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, love one another with brotherly affection, Paul says, counsel one another. This isn't just for the elders and the pastor, by the way, this is for all Christians, each and every one of us. The new directory is out. You have each other's numbers. You have each other's emails. Talk to one another. Call one another. Visit one another. Find out how we can help each other. It's not that we don't already do that, but we can do it all the more. The church is a church of visitation. Mary is a good example. And when those normal visitations are happening, or celebrations are happening, or even weeping together is happening, like I'm sure Mary and Elizabeth and John and Zechariah and Jesus had in those 3 months they were together, you can see some of the amazing things that God is doing. It is through the simple greeting of Mary, notice, that Elizabeth realizes the amazing things that are going on. It is at the sound of her voice, the second that she walks in the door and says, "Greetings to Mary, peace to Elizabeth," that Elizabeth receives the gospel. She is granted by the Holy Spirit to recognize this most amazing thing that is happening in the womb of Mary and in her womb. But the same can be true for you. You also have the gospel. Yes, of course, you don't have the Lord in your womb. You're not Mary or John the Baptist in your womb. You're not Elizabeth. But you do have the Spirit in your heart. And you do have the words of the gospel, which are powerful, even sharper than double-edged swords. And so you don't know how much it means to others when you give them a simple greeting. You don't know how much a simple "God has it under control," or a simple "let's pray about that together," or a simple "Lord have mercy on you" means to someone. But you can know this, that where two or three are gathered, there he is with you. And so, of course, you're not Mary, you're not Elizabeth, but you do have His truth, His Spirit, His righteousness. And we can sing with Mary the song that she sings. We can know that love and that graciousness and that mercy that our Lord has had when He visited us. Notice that when we visit one another, it is an outgrowth of the fact that the Lord has visited us. That's what Mary sings. "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He who is mighty has done great things to me, and holy is His name. He has visited me, and so I will visit you." The Lord loves the humble, the lowly, and the despised. Mary sings about that over and over again. "He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away." The Lord loves the humble and the lowly and the despised. And for the proud, He will scatter them. For the rich, He will make them poor again. But for you who are poor in spirit, for you who love the Lord and are His humble servants, He has visited you, and this wonderful truth, it cannot be hidden. The truth of the Magnificat, of Mary's song, it cannot be hidden. God's might, his strength, it is for your good. His mercy has been sent to you as it has been sent to Mary in the person of Jesus Christ. He has vindicated you, his humble servants. He has stricken down and scattered the mighty and the proud. And he feeds you with his nourishment, with his daily bread, with his own body and blood from his fatherly hand. He has shown himself faithful, as Mary says, from days of old, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And he will remain faithful for days to come. So praise be to Christ, because he has done marvelous things. And what can my soul do but magnify the Lord and rejoice in God my Savior? So to that Lord, who visits his people and has mercy on them, be all the honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.